Good morning.
Guess what? This is our last sermon as far as some of the, how do we say it, the hellfire and brimstone section of Scripture. One more. Where's Donna? One more. One more. Okay, one more. All right. And by the way, Cindy, I tried to take some pictures myself, but they were not worthy of the PowerPoint for Amazing Grace. There were a bunch of sheep that were just down here about a week ago, right? And so I thought, well, I'll get a picture to give to Cindy. I'll contribute. So I went up with my phone. Oh, don't move, sheep. Don't move. And they looked at me like, what? And they're running away, and there's a fence. All you see is the fence, and you see sheep looking like, what are you doing? Really? Then I tried to take one of the cross and the sky and everything else. I'll show you, Cindy. It just wasn't as good as what you have. So I'm going to try to remember to look at here and look at the PowerPoint while I'm talking, because the theme is the proof is in the living. Now, there's a phrase, the proof is in the pudding. Isn't that a kind of a weird, like, who cares? Well, it goes way, way back in England, Yorkshire pudding, and it was actually the proof of the pudding is in the eating is the actual phrase. So you had to eat it to really understand it. But today we're going to talk about the proof is in the living. This is whether we live for Jesus as to whether we truly have faith. Now, suppose we've done this before years ago when we were making evangelism calls. We would ask people, suppose, God forbid, you were to die tonight, and suppose you were at the edge of heaven, and God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Guess what most people say? I'm trying to be a good person. I never killed anybody. Didn't commit adultery. Didn't rob a bank. We'll be good, right? Okay, so you didn't rob a bank. And they based it on comparing themselves to somebody worse in their life and behaviors. And as you said, it's not that, is it? What is it? What would we say to Jesus? What we say to God as to why he would let us into his heaven? Only Jesus is a free gift. It's totally free. The Bible says, by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man or woman or child boast, right? So Ephesians talks about that a lot. Romans talks a lot about it. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that we are justified by his grace as a gift, and apart from the deeds of the law. So the law does not save us. Now, we certainly need it. We really need it. We need to hear that. We've been hearing it the last few weeks pretty strong. But we need that, because if we don't have that, the law, we don't realize how sweet the gospel is. We think, oh, I'm okay, you're okay. We have Jesus, yeah, that's kind of nice. No, it's more than kind of nice. He's our only Savior from hell and damnation, right? From eternal punishment. We all deserve to go there, and it's only by his grace that we enter as we sing. Only by God's grace. So this text can be really misunderstood. Well, if I do this and I do that, then I'll go to heaven too. No, it's a proof of our faith, so the proof is in the living. Not just saying, well, I say the right things at church, I believe the right things, that's very important. But it's also, do you live out your faith in a real way? Is there a reality? Or is your soul on fire? We sang about that. Are you on fire for Jesus? And if you lost that fire, how do you get it back? So the proof is in the living. Okay, next slide, please. The parable of judgment. See, now, I'm not so sure this is a parable. I think it's more than just a parable, but we can quibble about that. This year, here you have the parable of the judgment scene. Next slide, please. The Son of Man shall come in great glory. That's how it starts off here. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. This is spoken of right before Jesus is going to be crucified, right? When he's going to be mocked, ridiculed, rejected, beaten, scourged, made fun of, crucified, looked anything like a king. But when Jesus comes the next time, he will come in all his glory, all his power, and it will be an amazing sight. Now, should Christians be afraid of that day when Jesus comes again? Absolutely not. We look forward to that coming. We say, come, Lord Jesus. We're ready. The church is ready for his coming again. We can't wait. You know, where we have excited anticipation, at least we hope so, that he will come again in great glory and with wonderful mercy and grace, because there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And, Donna, we were kidding about that in Bible class, right? Like, we'd be going, wham, bam, bam, bam. But the good news is that there is grace. There are two main teachings in the Bible, the law and the gospel. The law says what we ought to do, what we should do, what we must do, what we haven't done, who we really are, and it shows a mirror of ourselves right at us to show who we really are in comparison to God's holiness and righteousness. And that's so good, right? The gospel is what Jesus has done for us. What God has done for us in Christ is a free gift. And the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the gospel of a risen Christ who rose from the dead and brings that same resurrection power to live inside us. So we live, as Mr. Romans used to say all the time, Daryl, our dear friend Daryl, you know, we can't do this on our own. We have to have the Holy Spirit. We have to have Jesus on the inside. And then when we have Him on the inside, then we live for Him. Then we have the proof is in the living, because we live for Jesus and shows that we really have true faith. Okay, verse 32. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Now, the sheep and the goats is interesting, because we have some sheep just down the road here, and that's not as prevalent. And in those days of the Bible, and in that part of the country, part of the world, sheep and goats could look very much alike from a distance. The sheep and the goats looked a little bit differently. So it wouldn't be real obvious at first glance where the sheep were and where the goats were. So the goat herder or the shepherd would have to make sure, well, let's see, the sheep are over. Oh, wait a minute, they're all mixed up here. Oh, we got the sheep and the goats all confused, and they would have to separate them. And it wouldn't be all that easy. Now, what are the characteristics of sheep and goats? One of the things is, Robin, are you still doing yoga? Are you still in the goat yoga thing? Do you do the goat yoga? Have you ever done that? I still can't figure that out. So you go with goats, and they have goats do this? They what? They walk on your back like you get a massage of a goat? Okay. Yes. So anyway... What are goats like? It's a goat. You're a goat. What are goats like? Well, there was a... Yes. There is a... Kathy Disher writes about the difference between goats and sheep. And she writes it, and she says this. She says, goats will push, they will take, they will destroy, and they will bully. Their body language is, get out of my way. It's all about me and not about you. They're opinionated. They're vulgar. They're destructive. They even will chew the tail off of a horse. They will try to eat everything. They climb on cars and people, I guess. And it says that basically they're looking out for themselves. And if you see a goat, it's like, here comes trouble. And the goat herder basically just tries to keep them in a reasonable semblance of order. It's like corralling cats, very similar. It's a no-win situation. Now, sheep are not the brightest in the world. But they're very dependent on the shepherd. And they will listen to the shepherd. They know they're dependent. They're not aggressive. And they will be led. They can be led. It says shepherds protect the sheep from the environment, whereas a goat herder protects everyone else in the environment from the goats. So they can chew on stuff, chew on cardboard. They'll do anything. And they're obstinate, stubborn. And basically, see, when I went to the state fair, we would pet goats, and we'd think it was pretty cool. So one day, I had some stuff in my pocket, some food, and this goat found out about it, and he ripped my pocket. And I go, hey, stop it. What are you doing? So that's where I changed my opinion of those sweet, cute little goats, you know. They're not so cute. So that's why the Bible uses this differentiation between sheep and goats. So do you act like a goat? There's a lot of goats on the highway, right? Get out of my way. It's all about me. Get out of here. We don't want to be a goat. Sometimes that goatness comes out in all of us, though, right? But we want to sing like we want to say, like this one song that I used to learn way back in VBS, I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba, right? Because a sheep listens and follows the shepherd. So are you following the shepherd? Okay? All right, let's go to the next slide, please. So when Jesus brings all the people together, this is what He will say. Then the king will say to those on the right side, place of honor to the sheep, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. First of all, the king says to those of us on the right, the believers, come, you who are blessed by my Father. It's not about what we've done. It's the blessings we've received from God, right? It's we are blessed. Are you blessed? Absolutely. We are so blessed, aren't we? And we give thanks and praise to God every Sunday morning, every time we come together. We praise our Lord. Hallelujah. Amen? We praise Him. He's, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. He is good, and His mercy endures what? Forever. So we praise God for that. So come, you are blessed by my Father. Not take what you have coming to you, but come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you. If you have an inheritance, is that something you earn? No. It's only by view of the relationship you had with someone. And we have a relationship from the Savior who died on the cross, and in His death leaves a wonderful inheritance, and that is eternal life, because Jesus rose from the dead and gives us this free gift. And we can just kind of take that for granted until we're reminded who we really are outside of Christ, and that there is a heaven and there is a hell. But we are most blessed people, and we receive this wonderful inheritance as a gift. You can't earn an inheritance. And then with these words, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. And I was in prison and you came to me." Notice He didn't say, and I'm glad of this, let's see, while you're on earth, you raised 6 people from the dead. You healed so many people. You performed miracles. You started churches that had 10,000 members in it. It's not about extraordinary things. It's deeds of everyday kindness to people who are all around us, right? So is our food bank important? Absolutely. Is our clothing bank important? Yes. Is our jail ministry important? How about going to the nursing homes? Is it important visiting them? Absolutely. So the Lord says, "For you did, for I was hungry. I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Jesus wasn't in this. What is this all about? How do we do it for Jesus? Well, Jesus answered, "Inasmuch as we did it to the least of His brothers, we did it to Him." The Bible says in another passage that even a cup of cold water, which will be refreshing, we'll be looking forward to the days to come as it gets warmer and warmer. It'll be important to have cold water, right? Even if we give a cup of cold water to someone else in Jesus' name, we will not lose a reward. Just that little thing. So little things are the big things, right? The way we treat people is very important in the eyes of God. So how are you treating people? How are you treating them? Are you treating them like Jesus? We forget that. Oh, we need to be reminded, don't we? Boy, I'm doing this for Jesus. Like, here you go. Get out of my way. Get out and move on. We are called to love as the Lord loves us. And we do it for the least of His brothers. And the King will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it for the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." But the righteous will say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you do all this?" And so it shows they weren't trying to do it for reward. They weren't saying, "Oh, I bet Jesus is going to see this. Oh, God, you notice, God, and the rest of you too? Can I have a plaque right here that I donated this? Can I have..." No plaques, no. "Can I have it in a little book?" No. Or like Daryl talked about, somebody thought on here, it says in remembrance of... They're talking about a church member. It's not in remembrance of us, right? It's in remembrance of me, that is He, Jesus, for what He did for us. And when we come to the altar, we're not parading like peacocks who we are. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. And Lent and Easter is about Jesus and only Jesus. Amen? I can hear you. All right. Thank you. All right. So we do it for the Lord. We do it out of love because of what He's done for us, right? The so simple little things day in and day out, and the Lord notices. So that's the proof is in the living. How do you treat other people? Yes, even on I-17. Well, there needs to be love on I-17, right? Because there ain't a lot of love there. Have you ever noticed when you let somebody in, how they're shocked? Just like, whoa, the way, like, wow, you let me in? It shouldn't be that big a surprise. I remember it was in the parking lot of the Cardinal Stadium after the Greg Laurie Harvest Conference, and everybody said, go after you. Totally different than after a Cardinals game. Get out of my way. And everybody, no, you don't. What a difference. And we should be different in that sense. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, right? Okay, let's go to the next slide, please. And we already did that one. Okay, next one. And those are action words in blue. And there we have hands reached out. There's all kinds of hands. Single parents. Those that are poor. Those that are struggling. That need our love, right? And God will put those people in your path. All right, next one. Oh, boy. Here's our last little fire and brimstone for a long time. Okay, Donna, it should be the conclusion of all that. For those who did not live for Jesus and did not show that in the way they treated others, to the goats who were goats through and through and not sheep, some horrifying words, depart from me, you who are cursed into the eternal fire. Prepared not for them, but originally for the devil and his angels. God doesn't want anybody going there. And he's provided a way of escape. He has provided the fire escape. It's right there in Jesus. He's the bridge, right? And then people will refuse that bridge and live for self. Let's move to the next one. Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Wow. And these will go away into eternal punishment and the righteous to eternal life. Some have tried to argue that man will be annihilated in hell, like just kind of burn up and it won't be forever. But it's eternal, isn't it? That's what Jesus says about it. Next slide, please. The soul is forever, yes. So in case you haven't had it sink in for the last four, five, 6 weeks, one more, this is the last one, okay? Hell is real. It is real. I remember I was really getting ticked off of my stepmom, and I was a new Christian on fire, and I used to get boxes of tracts, and I passed tracts out all over the place. And I was kind of like, you know, I don't know about my stepmom. So I got this track entitled, Hell is for Real, and put it by her nightstand. That did not go over real well. Did not, yeah, I still regret that. Oh, man. But anyway, it is for real. I did have a book years ago, Voices from the Edge of Eternity, and it has all kinds of testimonies of people who died right before either they went to heaven or hell, and what they saw and what they said and what they wrote. Amazing experiences of people seeing angels saying, oh, look, they're coming for me. And all kinds of experiences of that, of seeing loved ones and seeing angels and seeing Jesus. There was a telecaster, a sportscaster named Nick Charles for CNN years and years ago, who was just he raised you-know-what, and he didn't live for God at all, and he came to know Christ, and shortly after he had incurable cancer, and he was really a mess. He was skin and bones, and Rabbi Zacharias talks about visiting with him, and Nick was in such pain with the cancer, he cried out to God and said, please take me home right now, please take me home right now. I'm in too much pain. And Jesus walked down the hall right to him, looked with love in his eyes and said, I will take you home, but not today. And then walked with a smile out of the room. And it's like, wow. And Nick was ready. He was ready to go to be with his Lord. And we have that promise. But anyway, in this book, Voices from the Edge of Eternity, it does have others of experience of people not ready for Jesus and dying in torment of blatant atheists. People hated God and regretting at the last minute that they had made the worst choice of their life to reject Jesus. And a cardiologist has written testimonies of people who saw the demons coming for them. And like in Ghosts, you know, and that description is very awful. So we don't want anyone to go there, right? Because there is another place, and that is heaven for all who will receive Jesus and live for Him, right? So let's go to the next slide. Because this is the good news. This text ends with not, you're all going to hell, amen, or this is the end. No, this is just the beginning. And this is the goal because it says the righteous will go into eternal life. And one of these days, Jesus will come again in all His glory and all His power. All who worship Him and love Him will receive Him with great joy. And you talk about a homecoming? Wow. You ever gone to homecoming or family reunion and really enjoyed it and you hated to leave? Well, this banquet, this party, this fiesta, it will never end. And you can imagine how terrible hell is, and it's imagine the worst day of your life and multiplying it by 10 million. On the other side of it, heaven is like the greatest day of your life, multiplied by 10 billion times 10 billion, and it doesn't get tired. You know, if you have a big steak, after a while, okay, I'm full. You know, you can have the steak and lobster, you can have all this. Well, we were going to have that, weren't we, steak and lobster? Oh, maybe not. I thought someone said they were going to serve that. No, it didn't. I thought I read that, but no, okay. Well, anyway, after a feast, after a while, we're all satiated. But in heaven, it gets better and better and better. People go, I don't want to go to heaven. This sounds boring. Oh, no. We won't be bored in heaven. We won't be on the other side of it. People say, I'll go to hell because I'll raise, you know what, there and have parties. No, you won't be having a party down there. It's awful. But heaven, what a place to look forward to. And these testimonies of people seeing heaven open up from the gates of heaven opening, seeing their loved ones, seeing Jesus, seeing the angels, and getting ready for that transition to be with Him in heaven forever. And that's why Jesus came to die on the cross, right? So that we could be in this PowerPoint picture. We could put ourselves here and get in this picture because He's coming for us. As awful sinners as we all have been and are, we are forgiven. You hear that, Donna? We are all forgiven. We're all cleansed. We're all pardoned. That's the good news. Hallelujah. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have now and forever eternal life. That's the good news that we look forward to at Easter coming up in a couple of weeks, to share that with people out there that are living in darkness, living in a horrible, selfish world like goats. We want to turn them into sheep, right, that are dependent on the shepherd. One of my favorite passages in the Spanish is the first verse of the 23rd Psalm. El Señor es mi pastor. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He leads me along the green pastures, the still waters. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me, your rod and your staff, you comfort me. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And to that, all we can say is, Amen.